States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's episode, we have a recording of the Freestyle Committee meeting that was held during the Adequan USDF annual convention earlier this month. And Dolly Hannon will then explain the changes to the freestyle tests.
This is the Freestyle Committee meeting. I'm Dolly Hannon. I'm the chairperson of the committee. I would like to introduce Jenny Johnson from the Dressage Foundation. She's going to talk to you just for a few minutes about what the Dressage Foundation does for freestyle grants.
Hi, everyone. I asked Dolly if I could just pop in here for a few minutes just to briefly tell you, if you aren't already familiar with the Dressage Foundation, we're separate from USDF, but we do provide a lot of support to USDF and its members individually and groups. So within the Dressage Foundation, we have different grants that are available. We have one that is specifically for freestyle education. So a lot of the goals with our Dancing Horse Fund are the same goals that you as this committee have to support and promote freestyles throughout the country. So if your group is having a freestyle clinic or seminar, please contact us and we might be able to help you with some of that funding. The grants range from probably $300 to $1,000, and that can go a long way in helping dressage freestyles in your area. The fund is also set up to help provide money for sound systems. So if your group, we have a lot of groups that say, you know, we are really interested in holding these freestyles, but our sound system is a boombox and we have to hold a microphone up to it and it just doesn't work for our shows, we might be able to help with that. So we've had some great donors who are really supportive of the freestyles and want to expand that and go into every area of the country. So please contact me if you have questions about those grants. We also have stuff available for other general GMO clinics and education, a lot of grants for instructors, adult amateurs, young riders. Our donors are wonderful and they just help us provide support across the board. Well, and I see some folks here in this room who are donors to our Dancing Horse Fund. So without pointing them out personally, I do want to express our thanks, because without them, we can't help you. So if you or someone you know is interested in helping us provide money for freestyle education, let us know, and we're happy to work with you on that as well.
Our big topic for today is the change in the freestyle tests, because they have changed. And the reason for this was it was pointed out that we were not in compliance with USEF rules. So we went back and redid the score sheets, and this is a continuous process. So we will continue to work on the score sheets to try to make them more user-friendly, both for judges, clear to competitors, and easier for scribes. So that's going to be an ongoing process. And we'll start with the training level freestyle score sheet. If you look at the freestyle score sheet, the backs, or if it's folded, the front of the score sheet is all the same for training through fourth level. And the items that are bolded are either changes for this year or something we wanted to emphasize. So if you look at it, the things that are bolded are that the maximum time limit is 5 limits. There is no minimum time. And we are going to try today to gear this a little bit more towards competitors. And I would say that very oftentimes a complaint that judges have is that lower level freestyles are too long. So you might take that into account if you're designing one, is to keep it more on the short side versus feeling as though you have to do 5 minutes. Because as a judge, I can tell you, when you judge 3 10-meter circles each direction, it gets a little tiring. Not tiring. It's not efficient. It's not an efficient use of the music or the time. So now what you start to find is, if you're going to include everything in there, let's start at second level, or especially third or fourth, you may need close to that 5 minutes to get everything in there. Personally, if someone asked me how long to make a training level freestyle, I would say easily under 4 minutes, maybe even, I don't know if you could do it shorter than that, but I would think you could easily do it in 4 minutes. There is a rule change in that now it is up to the judge at sea, it's the discretion of the judge at sea, to eliminate a rider that does not enter the arena within 20 seconds of the music starting. Okay, that's new. And music must cease at the final salute. Every once in a while, someone will have music for exit, and actually that's not allowed, but you don't see that very often. Basically, there's been a clarification in the test. It used to say clearly allowed and clearly forbidden. That's changed. A clarification on music failing was that it now states, in case of a rider's music failing before or during a freestyle test, in cases where there's no backup system, the rider can, with the permission of the judge at sea, leave the arena or start at a later time. Okay, so that's been clarified. Sometimes there's confusion about that. There's a little more information on the score sheet about that. I don't think I have to read the whole thing, but we clarified that, let's say the rider's starting to come in and the music stops before they start and they don't have a backup CD. Now they're covered, because there used to be confusion about what you would do in that situation. When we talk about going further down above the levels, movements above the levels found only at a higher level test receive a deduction of 4 points from the total for technical execution for each illegal movement, but not for each recurrence of the same movement. Part of the reason I'm reading this is that earlier in the judges meeting, we talked about what you would do if someone came in to do a second level freestyle and posted all the trot work. And what we basically concluded is that you would do the 4-point deduction at the bottom of the test. We need to discuss a little bit more about if they posted every shoulder in, every medium, if they posted everything. I mean, really, in following the rules, there'd be a 4-point deduction for each time they did it. So basically, we're trying to get the word out, don't post in the second level freestyle or above. That's not acceptable. So that would be the advice we would give for that. And then under the rules, guidelines, and definitions, which are on the USDF website, it now states that you must show 12 meters minimum of a lateral movement. So you do want to familiarize yourself with that portion of the website. It has a lot of information on it. And reins in one hand is now allowed. So hypothetically, you could ride a whole freestyle with the reins in one hand. It would not generally be recommended, but it's allowed. So if you can do it and do a good job, then I'll be surprised if we see very much of that, but it's possible. Okay, so that's the highlights in terms of the changes on the back of all the tests. Now we'll go to the interior of the test, starting with training level. This is only one thing to cover. So on the score sheets, the boxes for the movements that are done both left and right are a little bit larger. I'd hope for them to be even larger, but it wasn't possible in terms of formatting, but there's a little bit more room. So if you wonder why oftentimes you don't get a lot of comments, there isn't a lot of room for comments, and also oftentimes there isn't a lot of time for comments, so competitors need to know that. At the bottom of all the freestyle score sheets now, you'll see what is forbidden, what is allowed, and what is additionally allowed, okay? So on each level, we have some additionally allowed movements. In general, just so that you know, you can't do anything now from a higher level. It doesn't matter if it's a movement or a transition or a series of transitions. So, for example, you used to be able to do simple changes in a first level freestyle. You can't do that. If you've already done your freestyle, add a few steps of trot or think about what is allowed at that level. Have those transitions be included. And it is a change, because we used to allow that, but not now. So all of them say forbidden, any movement not found in a current USEF, USDF test at or below this level. Exceptions are listed under additionally allowed. So under additionally allowed, obviously there's some transitions that are included in every training level test. And you are allowed to do canter, trot, canter, but you must show 20 meters of trot in between the two canter transitions. You are allowed to do trot, halt, trot, trot, walk, trot, trot, canter, trot, trot, serpentine of a single loop or larger, of loops no smaller than 15 meters. And the minimum of 20 meters of trot should be on the score sheet, but it's not. It is under the rules, guidelines, and definitions on the USDF website, and it says a minimum of 20 meters of trot, canter, trot, canter. There are ways to keep the degree of difficulty. I think that it will affect it, but maybe people will be a little bit more creative in where they place things. I don't know. We'll have to see. And I need to clarify that when I talked about a minimum of 20 meters of trot between canters, that's training level only. I realized that I might have said first level by mistake. So apologize for that.
That's going to be an ongoing question about the degree of difficulty. Maybe Terry could offer some suggestions just for a couple examples of how you would increase the difficulty.
A training level, Trenno already pointed one out. You know, you can do a shallow loop or you can do a steeper loop because you would be permitted to do that. Now, there aren't many options at training, but do you really want to do that anyway? Besides, at training level, the degree of difficulty score is only one. It becomes two at the other levels, and so the whole point has always been never to push for too much difficulty at these level tests because we would much rather see a clean, well-choreographed freestyle. But to answer your question, you could do something, you are permitted to do leg yield zigzag at first level. You want me to go up from training level or first level? Training level, we were talking about the steeper loop. Going up to first level, you could do things like leg yield zigzag, which is permitted and it's clearly stated on the score sheet. You could do things such as a lengthening on a short diagonal to a leg yield. That's really tough. So mostly what you're going to be doing is using your transitional work to get your degree of difficulty up.
It's just limiting some of the transitions that used to be permitted. We don't necessarily want to see a lower level horse canter, halt canter. Can they do that in a balanced way? Probably not. So to be in compliance with the USCF rules, we change them.
The biggest change for 2015, we're in the new test cycle, and beginning December 1st, 2014, so that we can be ready for the shows as they start up, there'll be some significant changes to the USDF freestyle score sheets that both competitors, freestyle designers, and judges need to be aware of for the upcoming show season. One of the biggest changes is that to be in compliance with USEF rules, rule number specifically DR129.7B, you can no longer do movements and transitions that are only included at a higher level. There are a few exceptions to this rule, and they're listed under additionally allowed on the freestyle score sheets. In the past, you were able to do some movements and transitions that were found at a higher level, but this is no longer the case. To avoid confusion, only include movements that are included in the standard tests or in the compulsory elements at the level at which you're showing or below, and read the score sheets to see the exceptions to this change. I'm going to list the exceptions per level as we go along. There have been no changes to the artistic side of the score sheet. The boxes for the movements that could have multiple scores have been made larger, as have the comment boxes on the technical side of the score sheet. This should make it a little easier on the scribes. Right now, if someone does multiple circles, for example, they have to try to fit in a score for every circle in a little tiny box. It makes it quite challenging. So to make that a little bit easier and to hope that there'll be additional feedback to the competitors, we've made those boxes larger. Let's go down to what the additionally allowed or the exceptions for each level that now may be included in your freestyle. At training level, you may show a canter, trot, canter transition that must have a minimum of 20 meters of trot in between the canter transitions. You may show trot, halt, trot transitions, trot, walk, trot transitions. I know some of these seem obvious, but it's important to know what's included. You may ride a trot serpentine or single loop, and larger trot serpentines with loops no smaller than 15 meters. At first level, you may include a turn on the forehand, which is also in the rider's test, any configuration of leg yield, including counter changes of hand, which are two, or leg yield zigzag, which is three leg yields or more, trot circles of 10 meters or larger, a lengthened trot or canter on a 20-meter circle and counter canter. You may also show canter serpentines and canter circles of 15 meters or larger. At second level, you may include Ronvair, which has now been removed from the USEF standard test, but still allowed. Now, that won't be noted on the score sheet because it had already gone to press, but you may include Ronvair. Half turn on the haunches, no more than 180-degree turn. Trot circles 10 meters or larger. Medium canter or trot on a 20-meter circle. Medium canter on a diagonal. So these things are allowed in spite of the fact that you may not see them in a standard test. At third level, you may now, actually you could have anyway, but just to make sure it's clear, Ronvair may be included, which is now in the third level standard test, not in second level any longer. Half pass counter change of hand with only one change of direction, so that means two half passes back to back. Half walk pirouette, canter to halt transitions, and trot and canter circles of 10 meters or larger. Fourth level, half pass zigzag in both trot and canter, and a zigzag is three or more half passes back to back. Canter pirouettes. Right now at fourth level, we have a working canter half pirouette. You may show a standard canter pirouette. You just want to make sure you make it a good one. You always don't want to overface your horse if they're not quite ready for a more difficult movement. And three tempi changes in the canter. And trot and canter circles of 8 meters or larger. It is our hope that we can keep making these USDF freestyle tests more user-friendly and understandable both to judges and competitors and freestyle designers alike. This is an ongoing project for the Freestyle Committee, and for the next test cycle, we are now committed to a redo of the test sheet to make it easier for the judges and the scribes to manage. Right now, it's pretty difficult, so we were unable to have a total overhaul for this test cycle, but that is our intention for the next test cycle. As a personal aside, at the recent USDF Region 2 Championships in Lexington, Kentucky, there were over 30 first-level freestyles in one class that I judged, and it was a warm-up class. It was amazing. And all of the USDF freestyle classes at that regionals were large, and it was a very exciting show. We had many good quality lower-level freestyles that were fun to judge. There definitely seems to be a growth in the classes, and I hope that this trend continues, because when it works and the music clearly enhances the horse and the partnership between the horse and rider, it can truly be a beautiful thing to experience and also to judge. So the Freestyle Committee is excited about these trends and hopeful that it will continue to grow in the future. And I do have a couple of notes to competitors, and I want to just pass along the information that oftentimes in the desire to make a lower level freestyle more interesting, some competitors try to be creative in a way that's hard for the judge to follow. So you want to be sure that your judge at C, and if possible the judge at B or E, that you will see at a regional finals and at the national finals, can clearly follow your choreography and intention. It's also a good idea to keep your freestyle a little on the short side in terms of timing. There's a maximum time of 5 minutes, but there's no minimum time. And oftentimes I think competitors think that they have to do a full 5 minute freestyle for the lower levels, and especially for training level and first level, that is not the case. And when you repeat compulsory movements, for example, your circles, it's not necessary, but it also makes the judge and the scribe have to work really hard to make sure every movement is scored. And remember, we're required to give a comment for all scores of 6 and below, so trying to put those comments on the score sheet makes it quite challenging. The choreography should be easy to follow, and remember, as long as it's not an exact pattern from a current test, it cannot be considered test-like. There are some levels where it's difficult not to have the choreography appear a little test-like, because there's only so many ways you can include shoulder in and half pass, for example, at third level, and get all the movements in. You want to include the required movements in a logical way, and don't have so many changes of music and cuts in the music that it makes it hard for the judge to follow your intention easily. Sometimes I've noticed that in trying to be creative, the freestyle can get a little chopped up. It can get a little bit, I'm trying to think of the right word, choppy would be the best thing I would choose. So you want to feel as though it looks fluid and it's very clear what you're doing. And we are including this year the recommendation or the requirement that, for example, a shoulder in be shown for at least 12 meters and preferably 18 meters, because oftentimes, let's say at second level, the competitor might struggle developing the shoulder in. You want to be sure that any movement is clear for the judge to see. So also think about that in terms of where you place your movements. A shoulder in, for example, away from the judge is a little harder to see the angle than towards the judge, and vice versa for your rondeur or travers. So keep this in mind in terms of what the judge sees. And if you put together a pattern that's easy to follow with music that fits the horse's gaits and or suggests the gaits, you should be rewarded with a score that reflects your performance. So I wish everyone good luck with their 2015 freestyles, and the freestyle committee will continue to work on these and make them even more logical and both competitor and judge friendly.
And you can find more news and reports from this year's convention on the website at usdf.org. And whilst you're on the website, be sure to visit eTrack, the USDF's online learning center and resource for dressage and equine education. And a reminder that this podcast is, of course, available from the iTunes store to your smartphone podcast apps, so you can listen to the show on the go. As we approach the holiday season, the office will be closed from December 22nd through the 26th and will reopen again on December 29th. And since there will be no podcast next week, we would like to take this opportunity to wish everyone a safe and happy holiday season from the USDF staff. Until the next time, remember that the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.